You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Pat just not going to let this go, huh?
Who?
Pat Costello with this Jalen Hurts business, not being a top 10 quarterback on my list. He's just not going to let it go.
Remember, though, the list is going into the season.
Yeah.
Who you think would be in the top 10, right, of quarterbacks. And I think that, like, you know, one of the things that has popped up, open market, Brock Purdy or Jalen Hurts. Going into this season, Brock Purdy in Kyle Shanahan's offense is a great quarterback in that offense, in that system for that team. So when you have him ahead of him, I'm okay with that. Open market is a totally different like classification.
Well, if you want to say open market relative to what they both make, I don't think it's even a question. It's Brock Purdy. He makes less than $1 million going into 24.
Well, if you take that,
you said open market.
No, I think what Nuno asked about if they were both free agents.
It's not. It's like to me, that's a no-brainer.
If we're talking strictly based on abilities, like no contract added to this, it doesn't matter who the coach is, what the system is, would you still have Brock Purdy in there over Jalen Hurts?
Like, who do I want to build a system around?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So
like we're all starting from scratch. Let's just hypothetically do that.
I think based on the physical tools, Jalen Hurts gives you more options. But again, it's based on what flavor of ice cream you like. Like, I mean, Tom Brady didn't have more tools than any other quarterback, but Tom Brady ended up being the greatest quarterback of all time. I'm not saying Brock Purdy's going to be that. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that Brock Purdy, in terms of the overall intangibles and when it comes to football acumen, is one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League.
I think if you do the everybody's a free agent, expansion franchise, coaches in place, whatever it is, everybody's available – I think that's where, like, Trevor Lawrence would be so high because his talent is through the roof, his size is through the roof, and his ability to run the football is much greater than we talk about. Like, there's nothing that Trevor Lawrence can't do that other guys do. I'm not saying over Mahomes, but I'm saying if you look at every other quarterback, he can do anything. He doesn't do everything all the time, but the talent and what he could be is intoxicating, I think.
Yeah, but I could say the same thing about C.J. Stroud and Justin Herbert, and that's why I don't understand why Pat has such an issue with those guys being over Jalen Hurts, when clearly they're more talented than Jalen Hurts is.
But what does talent mean if you don't do anything with it? Jalen Hurts has almost won MVP and almost won a Super Bowl and has been pretty darn good in those seasons. These other two guys haven't done anything.
Well, Pat,
CJ Stroud had one good season, and that's great. But how can you say he's better than Jalen Hurts already? We haven't seen enough track record.
Because the situation that Jalen Hurts inherited is vastly different than the situation that any one of those three quarterbacks got.
Trevor Lawrence has now had two seasons with a Super Bowl winning coach, and they've been 9-8 twice. Like, it's not like he's been phenomenal.
But Pat, they weren't starting at the same place. That's what I don't understand. Like, I don't want to get in a back and forth shouting match. But there's no argument to be made about where the Jacksonville Jaguars were at the start of 22 versus where the Philadelphia Eagles were.
Yeah, but at some point we can't just keep giving them passes.
They weren't starting from the same place.
But we can't just keep saying like, oh, well, he's got a lot of potential. Like at some point he's got to do something.
I think we're starting to get to that point in Trevor Lawrence's career because he's going into his fourth season. And correct me if I'm wrong, but like that's like this was this Jalen Hurts this past year was his fourth season, but he was by far a more dysfunctional franchise in Jacksonville, just like C.J. Stroud was in Houston, just like Justin Herbert was with the Chargers.
Can we just put some definitions behind this? Because Pat, you just said at some point he's got to do something. Let's define what doing something is for a quarterback and when you have to do it by.
Apparently, he's talking about conference championship game or better.
That's
what he's talking about. Because C.J. Stroud and Trevor Lawrence have both gotten to the divisional round. So he must be talking about conference championship game or better. If that's to do something, that must be the bar.
But, CeCe, let's not put a name on it. Let's just do it.
Well, we got to put a name on it.
No, but I'm saying let's build out the characteristics behind doing something, and it has to be done by for a quarterback that we're saying. We're not saying Gardner Minshew, who's good, but like for the great quarterbacks, what is doing something?
I guess it's the conference championship game.
Okay, conference championship game.
Or is it a Super Bowl appearance? Is that the bar?
I'm asking.
I don't know. I don't know what the bar is for Pat Costello.
It's hard for me to determine that bar because context matters so much.
That's what I'm saying.
It's hard for me to say, oh, you have to reach this for me to believe in you because Trevor Lawrence is a great example. The Urban Meyer of it all happened, and he was injured last year. Same thing with Jalen Hurts. Like at the end of last year, remember his finger? It's not supposed to move that way.
But if you don't get to the conference championship by year four, Smalls, and you're one of these quarterbacks,
are you going to hold that against Justin Herbert though? Like up
he's
until
past that, right?
But I'm saying up until this point in his career, are you going to hold him not getting to a Super Bowl or a conference championship game against him?
No, and that's the part that makes it silly when we're having this argument. Like, that's the part that is absolutely ridiculous. Like, everybody had questions about Matt Stafford until we didn't, after he won that championship in the 2021 season. All of a sudden now we view his career differently. Why? Mm-hmm. Because the context around the dysfunction with the Detroit Lions actually mattered. Oh, you know what? Maybe Matt Stafford is good. Maybe he was worthy of being the number one overall pick because he finally got to a functional franchise, a stable situation with a real head coach, and this guy won a championship.
I think it's interesting, Herbert, you said 4 years, right? Context. He's actually played exactly 4 years. So I think we should change it. I think if you're a first round quarterback, or we're going to deem you to be a top 10 caliber quarterback in this league, within your first rookie contract, which is maxed out at 5 years, a lot of them don't go that long because they redo it to move forward, but let's call it within 5 years, you have to get to the conference championship or beyond. I don't think that's unfair. I think if you look at Justin Herbert's first 5 years, if they don't get to the conference championship this year, you will say most teams would want him as their quarterback, but so far his career hasn't reached the heights that you would think the talent would allow him to reach. Doesn't mean he can't. It just means he's got to do something. That's when you start to label that guy, whomever that is, as he's got to do something.
So why is it different for first-round quarterbacks versus other quarterbacks?
Because the other quarterbacks aren't supposed to do this.
Yeah, but the other quarterbacks are going to much better situations because they're picked later.
Mm. Like well, Dak not Prescott, definitely. Yeah,
but Dak Prescott went to a better situation. Jordan loves a first-round pick, so I'm not going to count him. But the other quarterbacks,
Jalen Hurts
has gone to a better situation.
Brock Purdy,
better situation. So, like,
so you want to say 4 years for those guys?
I don't understand why we're moving the goalposts for first round quarterbacks versus quarterbacks that weren't taken in the first round.
Trevor Lawrence, though, since he's been a freshman in college, we've talked about him as the second coming, the greatest, can't miss prospect. Is it not fair to say that he has not lived up to that in saying that, like, so he might become a top five quarterback because he has that talent, but based upon everything else that they presented to us when we looked at Trevor Lawrence, that he's been a little underwhelming.
I don't, but that's the part I don't understand. Like, what are we underwhelmed by? His first year was a disaster because you can't take the head coach seriously. The next two seasons were winning seasons. He had a playoff appearance in there, a playoff win in there. This year, they collapsed after starting 8-3 because the guy had a serious ankle injury and he was concussed. I don't understand why we're saying it's a like, how is he all of a sudden turned into a disappointment?
And if you think about
that's the part that I don't get. I don't understand it. How did we get to this place?
I believe that I personally am a bigger Trevor Lawrence fan than anyone on this show, and I would say that he has not lived up to what I expected him to be yet.
But how?
Because how? I expected him to be what CJ Stroud is. Doesn't matter
with Jacksonville? Doesn't,
anybody. Doesn't matter. That's what I expected.
But do we...
You can't overcome bad coaching.
I expected him to do that.
I don't even know if CJ Stroud could have done any better than Trevor Lawrence did in that Urban Meyer
exactly.
situation. He wasn't even taking the team playing home. He was kicking guys. I mean, it was a hot mess to the 10th degree.
So, exactly. And in his second year, when he was fully healthy, when he got with a real head coach, he won a playoff game and got to the exact same round that CJ Stroud did.
And a big playoff win where he overcame a huge
27-point deficit.
So, I understand that. The Jalen Hurts part of it. The first time our show had this conversation was in December. I remember it vividly. Since then, where Pat and CeCe, I think, are on opposite sides here, is that since the first time we brought this up, are we sure he's a top 10 quarterback, his team fell apart, lost in the playoffs, and have had all kinds of drama. So if he's 11, if he dropped to 11, at his peak, if he was 5-8, and because of everything that's going on now, he dropped to like 11 or 12, I don't know what we're screaming and yelling about. That seems somewhat reasonable because I actually think he can easily get back into the top 10 this year with good play.
Yeah, but the thing that made Jalen Hurts special is not necessarily his overall physical talent. It was the intangibles. The guy's a winner, right? That was the like he was at Alabama. He was a winner. Mm-hmm. He was at Oklahoma. He was a winner. Like, you know, he stepped in when Carson Wentz was thought to be the guy. The Eagles struggled. They put him in. He got to the playoffs in his first full season as a starter, got to the Super Bowl in his second full season as a starter. He's a winner. Well, what happens when that guy that's a quote-unquote winner can't stop the bleeding when the team loses six of its final seven games? All of a sudden, those intangibles that we were giving him credit for, we got to walk that back a little bit. And that's all my list reflects, me walking that back a little bit. I'm not saying that Jalen Hurts isn't a good quarterback. I just said based on where he's at and in comparison to the other guys that are out there, he's not in my top 10 going into 2024.
Totally different circumstances. But in the same vein with which we talk about Justin Herbert saying, okay, he didn't have the proper coaching up until this point, can we look back on this past year with Jalen Hurts and say he really missed Shane Steichen and we still have some questions about Nick Sirianni? And maybe the erosion at the end of the season isn't all on Jalen Hurts, or we shouldn't give him so much of the blame. Just like some of these other quarterbacks, we put it on the head coach more than we do the quarterback.
Yeah, but we can't then say, oh, well, the coordinators being gone can explain away the struggles that they had in the second half of the season because they still had the same head coach. Like, it's still the same concepts that they're running offensively that they had a year ago. Maybe not the same sequencing. Maybe the play calling is not great. But, I mean, you still had the same structure in place. And you would think that the player would graduate to having more say, and you would think that Jalen Hurts would be at that point in his career where he can go to Nick Sirianni and say, we need to be doing these types of things in these given circumstances. We didn't see any answers from the head coach quarterback tandem, and they're getting all of the scrutiny right now going into this season, and deservedly so.
Do you have where you think Hurts is going into the season?
Yeah, I'd probably have him at 11 or 12, somewhere
okay,
in there.
So, like,
he's right outside the top 10.
So he'll get in the top 10 by the end of the season.
Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe. I think
and Nick Sirianni might be fired before the trade deadline. Maybe.
If they Now I'm going to get angry. If there's a thought that he could get fired before the trade deadline and you did not hire Belichick nor Vrabel, you should be just
It's already a mistake. It's already a mistake, Ev.
Gets me so agitated. It's almost tournament time. Selection show is this Sunday. Tune in tonight for the Big 12 semifinals presented by Robinhood. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Well, it is great to have Smalls back because while we were here the last few days, she's been dealing with food poisoning, very sick.
Yeah.
And somehow I didn't know that food poisoning and being really sick leads you into doing deep dives on Kate Middleton. Has been your main consumption while you were sick, right?
Well, I couldn't eat food. I had to consume something, Evan.
So you went Kate Middleton.
So the group chat is very invested on finding out where Kate Middleton is. And I was laying on my bathroom floor and I couldn't really do much. So I went on a TikTok deep dive of the theories surrounding the princess and where she is.
Mm-hmm.
and something sus is happening overseas. Oh, let me tell you that.
Okay.
I've got a lot of questions and no answers.
Okay. So just to reset this for a second, this is a princess. She's very famous.
One of the most famous people in the entire world.
Nobody knows where she is, and she hasn't been seen nor heard from in how long?
Since December.
And normally, how often is she seen and heard from?
All the time. Here's where it gets super sus.
Okay.
In 2023, at the end of the year, I can't remember if it was November or December, they announced a planned trip to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Then they said that she had a planned abdominal surgery. Why would you be talking about a trip to Italy if she had a planned abdominal surgery that was going to take so long for her to recover from?
Hmm.
Makes no sense, right? Then there was this questionable ambulance ride from the premises after Christmas. No one has addressed it. No one knows what's happening there. And she has not been seen since.
And there are people, I'm not trying to be too speculative, but the internet is blowing up. There are people that are saying, God forbid, this woman is not alive. That's where people are going. Because they could squash this at any given point, right? They could just have her come out and say, hi, like, I just don't want to meet with the media. My bad.
She,
right? Like, at any given point?
She would give birth and then 32 minutes later be in full glam holding that baby in front of cameras. And a lot of people are saying if she was able to show proof of life, they would trot her out there to do so. And yet all they have produced are some terribly photoshopped photos of her. There is no video evidence that she's okay. And people are very alarmed.
Do we have a date for her next public appearance? Are they saying anything?
They have said she'll be okay by Easter, which is weeks away. Okay. And I'm telling you something, if she's not seen by Easter, people are going to freak. People are already freaking. There's some reporting out there, allegedly, don't sue me, royal family, that she's in a coma.
That'd be good for our show if the royal family sued you.
It actually would be.
I mean,
it would stink
for you, for the show. But I mean, if the royal family was suing unsportsmanlike and Michelle Smallman because she was sick for a couple of days, it had nothing to do other than do that.
I'll tell you what, it would get us some pub.
Yeah, exactly.
It would get
right.
us some pub. But yeah, there's a Spanish journalist reported and doubled down on the fact that she had sources saying that the princess was in a coma. I mean, there's some really dark stuff circulating out there. And I can't for the life of me understand why, if they could squash this, they wouldn't.
Is there a, not to always make it about sports, but that's what we do. Is there a sports story that you feel this way about? Like, I wish I knew exactly what happened in this situation. I don't mean like a life and death, God forbid thing. Like, a lot of people always go to the Malcolm Butler benching in the Super Bowl where you're just like,
that's a good one.
I want to know what actually really happened here because I'll never actually know the answer.
Sports
to that.
Mysteries?
The sports mystery that you're just like, what happened? Somebody tell me the real story behind that.
I got to really think about this because I know there's an obvious one that we're missing.
Like everybody who said, ironically, about food poisoning here, about Michael and the flu game. Like what really happened?
That's a good one.
That's
a good one.
But they did address that in the last dance.
The pizza,
whatever it is.
Yeah,
but like
everybody
someone randomly dropped off a pizza. Like, come on.
Their sports mystery that they'd love to know what really happened. Because Let's hope, God willing, everything is okay and whatever.
I'm praying she's okay because it's very scary.
At some point, she comes back. She's talking to people. Whatever it is happened. And we're probably never going to really know what happened. Like the true, real backstory behind a story in sports that you just want to get to the bottom of. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. By the way, ironically, we do have the Patriots documentary that comes out today with the final two episodes on Apple Plus where they supposedly address the Malcolm Butler stuff.
Yeah.
But Belichick's not going to talk about that. And Malcolm Butler went back and actually signed with the Patriots years later and was at the Brady retirement. So whatever happened, they kissed and made up where he has no motivation to actually give the real story behind what happened.
Yeah, but when you don't have any other opportunities for a job around the league, then you'll do whatever you got to do in Malcolm Butler's case.
Yeah, good point.
Right? Like after he left Tennessee, it was kind of him bouncing around the rest of the league, not really being able to find a home.
You'll know this story.
What's up?
We found out, but when the Mets won the World Series in 86, Doc Gooden was not at the parade.
Yeah.
And that was a huge story. And in some of the 30 for 30s, you get him on ESPN Plus, he talks about that he had this terrible drug bender and whatever it was and was like in a crack house during the parade.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying, like, those one of those mysteries. Like, where was Doc Gooden during that moment?
Or you know what I want to get to the bottom of? And yeah. It's a mystery that I was actually a part of. Ooh. I want to get to the bottom of why Bill Parcells walked away from the Dallas Cowboys after the 2006 season.
Ooh, good
after
one.
He put together all of this talent on this team, both sides of the ball, why he decided to walk away. I want to know, Bill.
That's your Kate Middleton?
I want to know. I just want to know why he walked away.
And you think you'll we ever were get right that there. Story?
No, because the team the following year went 13-3. We were really talented. But we fell on our face in the postseason. I got to think if Bill Parcells is on the sideline and not Wade Phillips / Jason Garrett, the result is probably different.
Yeah. How about some of the Shaq Kobe stuff back in the
day?
Oh,
I would have loved to know
that's
that,
a good one, too.
Like what's the real...
Three championships. Why couldn't we have kept that thing pushing, Ed?
Yeah.
Why couldn't we have kept
because
it pushing?
Because you hear people say, like, hey, Shaq liked to take advantage of living the life and celebrity status, and Kobe was in the gym at all times. Okay, but, like... That's not the first time that's happened in sports.
Yeah.
I guarantee there were guys on teams you played on that were great players that wanted to go out and other guys wanted to work and like, okay, whatever. But like they broke up. You can't say they would have won more, but they would have won more.
What about Kevin Durant at the end with the Golden State Warriors?
Like we were starting to get breadcrumbs there.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in that locker room. Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, what really went down behind the scenes.
Can you imagine?
Oh, man.
If we got the full info on that. This one's a little different, but I would love to just have the ledger, the logs of players that were paid under the table in college. Like, which universities had... you know, some shady stuff going on. Like, if we could get the real stories behind all of that, I think that would be interesting.
Like, who had an NIL payroll before NIL was legal?
Like, if we actually...
Everyone?
But if we could look and compare...
Miami Hurricanes?
Yeah, well, we got that with the U a little bit, right? We got some of that.
But if you could look and compare and say, oh, you were paying players this much and you won nothing, you know, things like that I think would be super interesting.
So, getting some tweets on this, at Unsports ESPN, this is a good one. Everybody speculated on this forever. Colin tweets in, The NBA draft lottery when Patrick Ewing and the Knicks
the frozen envelope.
That's
whether
a good
or not like David Stern reaches his hand in there and actually is it frozen. I mean, people would say that about Michael, obviously, with the gambling and the out of the league for a couple of years in terms of what really happened in that spot. I'll give you another one here. Andrew tweets in at Unsports ESPN. What really happened when Belichick took the Jets job and left?
Oh,
twice, by the way, twice. Right, we kind of know some of the details on that.
Well, yeah, it was about Leon Hess selling to Woody Johnson and Bill Belichick not being comfortable with that transition and decided he was going to get out of there. Like, that was a big part of it. So, yeah, I guess we do have a little bit of insight behind that.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, your telephone number to join the show. Smalls is fascinated, as is the world, around the mystery of what really is going on with Kate Middleton. We want your responses as to the sports mystery that you would love retroactively to know what really went on with.
I also would love to know all the details behind Spygate. I would love to see the tapes. Why'd you burn the tapes? What's on the tapes?
They're on there. On the documentary. They show them.
Oh, they show all the tapes?
Not all of them, but they show some
of
it.
Okay, I haven't watched it.
Yeah, you can see that. That's, they show some of like the sideline footage. The one that Jay Glazer from Fox put out there back in the day. Like, they show it where they have it focused in on the coaches, and then it goes to the time and score, and then back to the coaches, so they know exactly the play that was run relative to the hand signals that were called, allegedly. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Smalls and the world fascinated by the whereabouts of Kate Middleton.
Where is she?
I don't know. It's one of the mysteries that is out there, and we've been discussing sports mysteries historically. Situations in sports, you're just like, oh, I wish I really knew what went on there. Because we're all hoping, God willing, everything's okay. And then what's going to happen is everybody's going to move on, and nobody's going to actually know what really happened. It's kind of that thing in sports where you're just like, oh, I would love to know what really happened in this circumstance historically in the sports world. Andrew in North Carolina, listening on 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, guys. Huge fan of the show. Keep doing what you're doing. You know, most of the time when you think of sports mysteries, you think of like the 73 Battle of the Sexes, Jordan's retirement, that sort of thing. But with Keith Middleton on the mind, I got one thing that I think of. Did Mandy Teo really get catfished? Was it made up the whole time?
You know, the documentary
the documentary
on Netflix was excellent about Manti Te'o. Very and good. I started to look back at my own life at that time and being on the air and being like, oh, boy, I was pretty unfair to this guy looking back on it because I was really harsh. And it's like, now you know some more of the details and you feel terrible about that. Or at least I did retroactively.
Yeah, I think that was just you.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Corey in Dallas listening on the ESPN app. What's up, Corey?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Just one of the more recent ones. I'd like to know what happened in that Philadelphia Eagles locker room this year. If there was some kind of blow up between people, just to see what caused them to be so terrible down the street.
That's a good one. That's a very good one. And thank you for the phone call. Like, we all just assume this just can't be just losing games like this.
No.
Like, you could see it probably in a way, CeCe, that we can as an ex-player, that you're like, no, I know what that looks like. Well, and we have no idea.
Well, you don't start off the season the way they did. I mean, think about it. You're talking about a team that was 10-1. Like, they were rolling.
And then they just completely fell apart.
There's got to be something at the heart of it because there's such a clear delineation between when they were good and when they were bad. You want to link it to one event. Now, it might not be something as salacious as we're all speculating about, but the fact that nothing has come out and that we really couldn't put our finger on is only going to be this – it's only going to create more suspicion that ends up being this ominous cloud for them going into the 2024 season.
For sure. It unraveled quickly, and they could not stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of questions there.
Now, you had another great one during the break, though.
I would love to know all the details surrounding Ime Udoka and the Boston Celtics and how that ended. I know we know some of the details, but if we could find out everything, that would be interesting to me.
That would be very interesting.
My guess is no one's going to want those details out there, if I had to guess, which is why they're not out there.
For the public, though, it's still a bit of a sports mystery.
It's a mystery because we know he's a hell of a coach.
Right. That, like, period, next sentence, that man can coach. I don't know what he did in his life. But that man can coach basketball. Yeah. And that firing is going to be brought up day after day after day if the Boston Celtics do not win a championship, because Joe Mazzulla will be the one who will be blamed regardless of what happens. And we are going to think back to, well, you had a great coach here, but they probably had to make the move that they had to make.
Well, they clinched the playoff spot last night with their win over the Suns. I mean, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are rolling. I don't know that we've ever seen those two coexist and have the kind of chemistry that they had this year in any of the previous years. Like, they are at their best. So they absolutely have to get to the NBA Finals. They have to. Like, to me, that is the floor for this team. And anything less than that is a massive disappointment for them this season.
Yes.
All right.
All of the other teams in the Eastern Conference have serious questions. Not the Boston Celtics. They don't have any excuses.
You just brought something up. Here's the dirty little secret. Celtics have looked great recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jaylen Brown's been the best player, and Jason Tatum's been the second best
player. Agreed. Jaylen Brown's been balling.
There is something to wondering aloud when Jason Tatum is not good or has not been good in clutch time recently, that have we gotten this backwards this entire time? Is Jaylen Brown actually the one and Jason Tatum's the two? I don't think so, but what we've seen over the last 5 to 10 games is very interesting to think about. That maybe if they just switched, one's the main guy, one's the complimentary. I'm just saying.
It's a different story when you're the guy, though. Like, every defense is gearing up to stop Jason Tatum. That creates a lot of opportunities for Jaylen Brown. Now, to his credit, he takes full advantage of him. But, I mean, the primary focus, the guy that everybody circles in the game plan meetings before they play the Boston Celtics, is number zero.
Yes.
Like, he's where it begins and ends. Like, I'm just saying, Jaylen Brown has been really good. He scored 37 last night. I think he scored 40 a couple of weeks ago. Like, the guy is taking full advantage of it. He's certainly stepped up and taken his game to another level. But I think it has to be Jason Tatum's team in order for them to win a title. And my point is there is no excuse as to why they can't get it done this year. They by far and away have the easiest path of any of the teams that we think are true title contenders because it's only them in the Eastern Conference, and we're talking about three or four teams out in the West.
It feels like if they don't win this year, we're going to absolutely crush them for it. Like, they're the only reason that would stop them from winning at this point, right?
Yeah.
Things could change, but as of this point, that's how we feel.
Yeah, I'm still worried about them being so reliant on the three-pointers, though. I mean, last night they shot 53s. Now, they made them at a high clip because they had 25 makes. But, I mean, that's a team that when they go cold, it looks really, really bad, especially in the postseason when teams tighten up defensively. Like, I wonder if their style of play from regular season to postseason will shift as much as we've seen with other title contenders and teams that have won championships in years past.
Well, they did win last night, 127-112 over the Phoenix Suns. The Suns are now 38-28. All right, but record 10 games over 500. Nobody's complaining about that. Problem is they're in the play-in right now in the Western Conference along with Dallas, Golden State, and the Lakers. So if you look at that and you've got Kevin Durant, Luka, Steph Curry, and LeBron James in the play-in, NBA should pat themselves on the back. While they want all four of them theoretically in the playoffs, sure, they should pat themselves on the back that if that is the play-in tournament, that's must-watch when you have those four superstars in there.
Yeah, it's must-watch because we're watching those superstars in the twilight of their prime, but don't get it twisted. Ain't none of them teams winning championship. Ain't none of them, including the Phoenix Suns. None of those teams are winning championships. Not Dallas, not LA Lakers, not the Golden State Warriors. None of them are winning titles. That's what I learned. Watching last night's game just showed me how far Phoenix is away from being a true title contender. They are the worst fourth quarter team in the NBA. And when it comes to competing in a title, you got to be able to compete and win in closely contested ball games. And they've shown that that's not what they do. Like, they cut it to 7, I think, in the third quarter, and then you had back-to-back threes by Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and all of a sudden you blink, and they're down by 20 early in the fourth. Like, they're not a serious team. And we keep talking about how much Jason Tatum needs a title. Let me tell you who needs a title. Kevin Durant. And I'm not sure that he's going to get one. Like, he's running out of runway in terms of being in the prime of his career, the height of his powers. He needs a title. I don't know that we've seen a top 20 player in NBA history do less with more than Kevin Durant. This is a dude that's played with three other MVPs at various points in his career. And all he's got to show for being around all that talent is the two titles with the Golden State Warriors, who won before and won after him.
Well, it's going to be very difficult if they don't come close this year, because what happens next year and the way in which the rules are in the NBA, and I'm not going to get too bogged down in the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, but it doesn't allow them to make moves with three superstars at that cost in order to help their team around them. They would have to break off pieces, and one of the three of them would be one of those pieces. And Bradley Beal, as we learned, has a no-trade clause, and you know, you're not interested in trading the other two. So where does this leave Durant all time? J.J. Redick, of course, ESPN NBA analyst, has a podcast, Old Man in the Three, and gave this take about Kevin Durant historically.
Whatever happens the rest of Kevin's career, we're going to look back in like 10 or 15 years and be like, why the did we spend all this time with all the bull discourse and not just appreciate literally one of the greatest basketball players to ever play this game?
Yeah.
I really, he's literally one of the greatest players ever. And we spend too much time on the bull instead of just appreciating his night to night greatness.
I don't understand what he's talking about, the BS discourse, though. Like I don't know. That's the part I don't get. Where is he coming from? Nobody's debating Kevin Durant's greatness.
If I had to guess, if he was sitting right here, he would say what you just said would fall under that. I'm not saying
that. How was that BS discourse, though? He's had teammates question him at every single stop. He had Russell Westbrook question him with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, there were questions around the Brooklyn Nets. There were questions with the Golden State Warriors that led to him leaving there. There were questions now with the Phoenix Suns. How is it BS discourse if people that are inside the organizations that he's playing in question what's going on with Kevin Durant?
Here's the reality of this. As we all know, once you're this good in the modern day sports game, where we have so many of us talking about this all day long, we judge elite great players by titles.
Yes.
And then we take those titles and we compare them to other titles. So what Durant doesn't have is what Dirk has in Dallas, what Giannis has in Milwaukee, what Jokic has in Denver, right? So we look at those titles as you started from scratch and now you're here, right? Started from the bottom, now you're here.
And you're the reason why.
And you're the reason why everything change within your organization. Like, literally being specific financially, the Milwaukee Bucks have the Deer District in and around this brand new facility, the Fiserv Forum, that is making them countless amounts of money, and they would never have had that without Giannis. Like,
no.
Like, that's the they will tell you that, right? We joke around a lot about Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr having the cheers when they go to dinner and say, thank you, Tim Duncan. We can afford a really fancy dinner because of what he did. The Warriors don't have their building without Steph Curry. And I think that's what you're saying. And I think if I'm putting words in his mouth, I think JJ is saying, why can't we just focus on 27 points a game for a decade, for 15 years in the league, two titles, MVP, the whole deal.
Nobody's saying that it's not great, but we want to see the best players on the biggest stage the game has to offer as much as we possibly can. And Kevin Durant doesn't get there nearly enough when you think about the talent that he's been surrounded by. Like, he's played with Russell Westbrook, who averaged a triple-double in multiple seasons, won an MVP. He's played with James Harden, multiple scoring champ, as an MVP. He's played with Steph Curry, the greatest shooter that God ever made. He's played with Devin Booker, who's an outstanding scorer. He's played with Brad Beal, who's led the league in scoring once upon a time. Like, he's played with all of these talented players. Kyrie Irving, arguably the best ball handler the game of basketball has ever seen. He's played with all of these dudes. And what he has to show for it is two titles. And they're with the Golden State Warriors, a team that won two titles without them. Won one before him, won one after him. So it makes us question the intangibles that we automatically assign to the all-time greats. If he can't do it on his own, if he can't do it outside of the structure that we saw with the Golden State Warriors, then what does all of that talent really mean?
But I think that's part of the discourse, is the intangibles rather than just what we're seeing from an individual basis on the court night in and night out. There's always this qualifier when it comes to KD. When we talk about the championships, well, he walked into a ready-made situation. That was more of Steph's team. People always want to discount him for that.
And but that's real, though. That is real.
But we never want to give him credit. It's almost as if we take away before we give him credit for the success.
But here's the thing. If he was really that good, he would be able to go out there and replicate it like we saw with LeBron. LeBron went to Miami, basketball school. What did he do when he left? Went to Cleveland and won a title. They'd never won a title before. What did he do after that? Went to L.A., won a title. Like, we saw LeBron James. Okay, he couldn't get it done in his first crack at it in Cleveland. He went down to Miami. Cool. Dwayne Wade had already won a title. Pat Riley, they knew it. He got the secret sauce. He was able to take that with his talent and do it somewhere else. And Kevin Durant's last two stops, he hadn't been able to do it. And who is the guy that he's been most closely compared to over the last decade of basketball? LeBron James. That's the part where it's underwhelming. Mm-hmm. And that's the part where I think it's absolutely fair to criticize. And Pat Costello said it before the show, and I'm going to repeat it again. Kevin Durant is the NBA version of Aaron Rodgers. That's what he is. A guy that is supremely talented, a guy that's undoubtedly an MVP, a guy that's one of the best we ever seen. Top 20 player in the sport's history. And yet, he doesn't get to the championship rounds nearly enough when it comes to how we view his talent versus the other guys that we would think are peers in the history of the NBA.
The single best point I think you just made that I have not heard anyone ever make, if you're going to compare, because I am a big Kevin Durant fan, if you're going to compare Kevin Durant to LeBron James, what you just said about going to Miami and then taking Miami with him, Kevin Durant went to Golden State, but it doesn't feel like he's taking Golden State with him.
Oh, he absolutely didn't.
And you could say, well, yeah, but Golden State's Steph Curry, but that's his point. Is that, that's literally the point, is you have to become that with Brooklyn and Phoenix.
But, and I guess that's the part that we've got to think about. The championship that the Warriors won after Kevin Durant, it that was the moment where I think everybody in the NBA and all of the fans looked at Steph Curry as a greater player in the history of the NBA than Kevin Durant. Because before that moment, people would say, oh, no, KD's a better player than Steph. KD's a better player than Steph. Oh, KD was the one that Steph deferred to. That's why he got the finals MVPs. That's why, you know what I'm saying, KD was a better player than Steph. Everybody was on board with that until the Golden State Warriors won their more recent championship. Now Steph Curry has usurped Kevin Durant.
We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Stats and analytics.
Whatever, nerd.
Not here. Give it to me from your gut.
Deep down inside.
This is How You Feeling.
Oh, it's me. It is time for How You Feeling here on Unsportsmanlike. I'm Michelle Smallman, alongside Evan Cohen and Super Bowl champion Chris Canty. What?
Oh, it's me. Hi.
I am the problem. It's me. All right, guys, we're going to do a little round of how you feel, and I'm going to throw out a team to you. You're going to give me your temperature check on how you're feeling about said team. First one, we are going to defer to Chris Canty on this one because it's in his team. How are you feeling, CC, about the Los Angeles Lakers?
Not great. Not great. They don't play good defense, and they can't run people off of the three-point line. And on top of that, you don't know what you're going to get from the supporting cast. AD and LeBron are pretty much constants. I know that those dudes will show up to play, but the supporting cast is where I have the questions. Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, Rui Hachimura, like all of those dudes, they're going to have to play a key part in this team's overall success. And until they step up on a more consistent basis, there's going to be a ceiling on this team. And I think that ceiling is the play-in tournament.
I'm feeling that I shouldn't take my temperature until the playoffs.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is I think that the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James have proven, at least over the last year, that they have earned the benefit of the doubt to wait and see. That doesn't mean they're going to win a championship. That doesn't mean they're going to get to the conference finals. It just means that regular season performance is not necessarily always an indicator of postseason performance with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Evan, we'll stick with you. How are you feeling about the Golden State Warriors?
Same exact answer, right? I think I have a right to sit here and say, let's wait and see on them. I understand that people think both these teams are done. I understand that many people believe that both these teams will not get out of the play-in. I will just say, if it's not the Nuggets, and if it's the Timberwolves or Thunder, while both of those teams are significantly better than the Lakers and the Warriors, they are significantly less experienced in these moments in those two teams. So because of who's on top, I still can have hope as to who's on bottom.
Okay, so I think we're watching the death of a dynasty.
Okay.
But I disagree with what Evan is saying. One of these teams is going to get out of the play-in, whether it's the Warriors or the Lakers. And I would probably bet on the Warriors because they got Steph Curry. And as we know, shooting is a non-perishable skill. So, I mean, Steph Curry is going to be able to get hot, be able to light it up. I do think Jonathan Kuminga starting to grow into his own is going to be a key down the stretch the last month of basketball that they're going to play. So I think he could be a factor in the play-in tournament as well. I will give the Golden State Warriors more the benefit of the doubt than my Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay. Let's pivot to the NFL. CeCe, how are you feeling about the Philadelphia Eagles?
Dream Team 2, baby. Ooh. Dream Team 2. They do this about once a decade. They get all of these guys, and they say, you know what? We're going to mix it all in, and it's going to result in the championship. Only to fall flat.
Ooh.
Only to fall flat. Yeah, 2011, they thought they were going to win a Super Bowl. That's when Vince Young and Ronnie Brown and all of these other guys got together on the Philadelphia Eagles and said, you know what, we're going to get it done. Didn't happen for them then. I don't think it's going to happen for them now. I just think the head coach is too much of a question mark. And I don't think there's a head coach quarterback tandem that's going to be under more pressure this year than those two in terms of being able to set the agenda for a team that no longer has Jason Kelce and Fletcher Cox as leaders. So, yeah, I like that they're being aggressive, but I ultimately don't think it's going to amount to much.
I am very interested in the 2025 Eagles.
The 2025 Eagles?
Yeah. I know we're talking about the 2024 season, but I'm very interested in the 2025 Eagles because I am convinced that they are going to make the proper move and get one of the big coaches out there, Vrabel or Belichick, to have a level of discipline on this team combined with a quarterback in Jalen Hurts that has thrived his entire career. When discipline is presented in front of him, see Nick Saban. I believe that they are going to be really good. I just don't know if it's going to be this year. I still have hope for them long term. I know you don't as much, but I have hope for them long term.
I might have hope for them long term, but we're talking about this year.
Yeah.
And so, think about it. If they're going to fire Nick Sirianni, that means they're going to fall flat based on all the moves they made.
I still am not giving up on Jalen Hurts, though. Just not. Just not.
Evan, how are you feeling about the Dallas Cowboys?
Confused. I'm very confused. Dan Graziano said it to us on our show, and it was a perfect answer. And we asked him, what does all in mean? And his answer was, whatever Jerry Jones wants it to mean, which means we have no idea. Stephen Jones, the president of the team, is out there saying that all in just means retaining your own. Yet they've made no moves to indicate smart retention of their own. It's not that they've lost all of these guys, but there's better ways of keeping them now and later. So how I'm feeling about them is confused as to what they are exactly.
Yeah, I feel like it's more of the same. That's what I would say. If you ask me how I feel about them, more of the same. Double-digit win team, early exit in the postseason. Why? Because when you have a good to really good quarterback, you can't afford to hedge for the future. And that's exactly what the Dallas Cowboys are doing. They're holding on to those draft picks and future cap space like it's a life raft. And I'm just telling you, when you're going in to try to win a championship, unless you have an elite quarterback, you've got to mortgage some of those future draft picks. You've got to mortgage some future cap space in order to bring in the requisite pieces that you need to get you over the hump. And the Cowboys are resistant to doing that. So it's going to be more disappointment in January for Cowboys fans.
CC, let's round things out with another one of your teams. How are you feeling about the New York Yankees?
I don't know how you can feel good about the Yankees. Aaron Judge is already dealing with injury problems. Like, he's saying he's going to be back for opening day. I don't know. And then we don't know what the hell is going on with Gerrit Cole. Like, I mean, this is the situation now where you would want to say I defer to the judgment of Brian Cashman or Aaron Boone, but that would be a lie. That ain't true. Like, those two individuals are going into this year on the hot seat, so to speak. So, yeah, I don't feel great about my Yankees. I know that they spend a lot of money, and I know that they went out and made a big trade for Juan Soto, but I don't know that that's going to equate to them being able to do the high-level winning I'm looking forward to. It's been the longest World Series appearance drought that this team has had since the 80s. It's a problem.
I am feeling excited for all of the off-the-field stuff. Not the injuries, but there is going to be drama all season long. Trade rumors, managerial moves, maybe GM moves. I think the Yankees are going to give us the drama that we want in baseball this year. We're Unsportsmanlike.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.